The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, text number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on March 30th, 2018, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sa Vai Pumsam Para Dharma Yata Bhakti Adhokshaje Ahaitaki Apratihata Yaya Atma Supersedati Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaje Ahaitaki Apratihata Yayatma supersedati Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaje Ahaitaki Apatihata Yayatma supersedati So that by certainly Pumsam for mankind para sublime dharma occupation yata by which bhakti devotional service adhokshaje unto the transcendence ahaitaki caused us apratihata unbroken, yaya, by which Atma, the Self, supersedati, completely satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Namisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures, present the most essential part, so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment. And the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of a living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.20 existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary sensation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior, but devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to the perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation, because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. So, this wonderful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the clue of how we can be free from all misery, how we can achieve that desired state of unlimited bliss. Therefore, we should study it very carefully and go deep, deep, deep into its inner meaning. Such understanding will actually liberate us from all of our agitation of the mind, from all of our disturbances. So we must carefully understand this wonderful verse from Bhagavatam. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So what does that tell us? Even if we're engaged in devotional service, if that devotional service is interrupted, it's not 24/7, and or it's not free of motivations, is it? In other words, if we're not free of motivations and we're not free of interruptions, we won't be totally satisfied. We'll still have dissatisfaction in the heart, even though we're engaged in devotional service. So, would you rather be in a position of being dissatisfied or be in a position of being satisfied, totally satisfied? Obviously, We don't want to be dissatisfied. We're dissatisfied with dissatisfaction. We don't want dissatisfaction. We want full satisfaction. Therefore, this verse is a very important verse for all of us to understand and follow. Because if we understand it and we apply it, we become totally satisfied. No problems. Simply pure nectar at every minute. You see? So, what's the difference then between motivated and interrupted, between unmotivated and uninterrupted? We have to understand the difference. Well, uninterrupted is pretty obvious. You do it full time. It's not that you take a little break for some sense gratification. Well, I think I'll take a little break, smoke a few cigarettes, and then take up devotional service. Take a little break from... It's like you work a job. There's break time, right? We don't have break time. You see? If you're taking break time, you're breaking your Krishna consciousness. Not that, well, I'm on the airplane, there's all these mundane movies, I'll just enjoy myself. An 8-hour flight, might just watch a few mundane movies, enjoy myself. I could be studying Shastra or watching videos on my iPad, you see, Krishna conscious video. That's an example, you see. We have to learn not to interrupt our devotional service with mundane, unnecessary mundane diversions. It's important. And the other one is unmotivated. Why am I engaging in devotional service? If I have some material motive, my godbrother, Balavanta, he was one time preaching very strongly. He had been with Prabhupada. And he came back after being in Prabhupada's association. And he's preaching very strongly. If you have your material motivation, you're asking Krishna, you may get it, but you won't get Krishna. You see what I'm saying? I come to Krishna with my material desires. I may get my material desires fulfilled, but I won't get Krishna. Even if I could get the whole universe, I could be Lord Brahma, the proprietor, controller of this whole universe. You see? If I didn't get Krishna, what's the use? You see? So any material desire, even if you get it fulfilled, but if you don't have Krishna, it's useless. Shama eva hi kevalam. It's a useless waste of time. So we should not come to Krishna with our shopping list. Give me this, give me that, give me. Do not come to Krishna with your shopping list, what you want, unless you're begging for pure bhakti. That you're going to have on your list. Unless you're begging that you can share pure bhakti on the order of Lord Chaitanya. If you have those desires, bahir nisinga, hridaya nisinga, those desires you can have on your shopping list. Please bless me, I can become a pure devotee. And please bless me, I can spread Krishna consciousness. Those desires we can have. The material desires extinguish the fire of bhakti. So you have one or two choices. You can extinguish your material desires, or you can extinguish your bhakti fire. Which one would you like to get rid of? Your bhakti fire or your material desires? Extinguish one or the other. You can't have both. Of course, Krishna doesn't neglect our material needs. Put yourself fully under Krishna's protection, you'll cover your material needs. Krishna is not some rascal character. He's our loving father. He wants to take care of us, that materially, spiritually, everything we have, everything we need, we have it. He's compassionate. So if you give yourself fully to Krishna, he'll arrange your material situation for you. You don't have to worry about your material situation. Just focus on developing pure love of God. And then Krishna will give you a nice material situation. He'll facilitate you. Krishna will facilitate you. We all have material needs, so Krishna will facilitate. We have to trust him. We have to trust Krishna, you see. He's not trustworthy. How we can surrender to him? We think Krishna's a cheater. How we can surrender to Krishna? We have to trust him that he's our well-wisher. Suhridam sarabhutanam, our best friend. A fantastic purport. There's so much here. Wow. I really like this statement. Living beings' sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That's how you sustain your existence, by harmonizing with Krishna. If you don't harmonize with Krishna, you're putting yourself into a state of virtual non-existence. You exist. But what kind of existence is it? You see? I say virtual non-existence. There's no such thing as non-existence of the soul. But it's a virtual non-existence. Because you're killing your spiritual identity. You're depriving yourself of that relationship you actually have with Krishna. You have an eternal relationship with Krishna in any one of five primary rasas. You are one of his associates from the spiritual world. You're not from Delhi or Bangalore or New York or Sofia. You are one of Krishna's eternal associates in his pastimes. You understand this point? You're not that body. You're not from a particular family in this world. You're one of Krishna's eternal associates. So we have to stop cheating ourselves by our foolish misidentification with this blood and flesh. We have to come back. Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We have to come back to our actual identities. Prabhupada writes further, he says, each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence. We have a form in the spiritual existence. We have an actual form. This is not us. This, actually, that form is right now in a dormant state. You have to tune in. You have to tune in. You have to hear what I'm saying and focus on it and try to understand. It's very important. Because, you know, if you don't, you're going to miss the whole point of human life and you'll spoil your whole life. You have to hear carefully and understand and implement these Vedic instructions. Do you understand? So hear very carefully. You're in an age when you can learn, you see. Your age, you can learn so much if you just tune in. You just have to really tune in. Like one of the, like the four Kumaras, they were young boys. You know, they kept themselves as young boys. They thought this is a very favorable position to be young boys. So they stayed as young boys by their mystic power. They stayed as young boys. So it's a very favorable position to be a young boy. You should take full advantage of it by hearing very, very carefully the words from the spiritual master. Because this hearing will liberate you. So don't put your mind somewhere else. Don't put your attention somewhere else. Put your attention right here in what I'm saying. Don't deviate. Don't even take a minute here or there. You stay focused right here. And if you do that, you'll have incredible awakenings within your heart. You'll actually come to that point of realizing your eternal spiritual form in Krishna's abode. That's what I'm talking about right now. But again, each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. That's interesting. You see, form is not something inanimate. This material form in us is two, you see. Prabhupada says form and then them. The form and the person are one and the same in the spiritual world. Here the form and the person are two. It's material form. This is the eternal form. Every living being has his eternal form. Interesting. So how to get back, you see, that's the real key. We have to learn to get back to that position. Unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. Ahaitakiya priyatiyata. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. So that means, just like one time I was asked, are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? Now, what kind of question is that? If you're a part-time devotee, you're in Maya because Krishna says, uninterrupted. Krishna says you must be a devotee 24/7. So if someone says you're a part-time devotee, it's not you're in Maya. You can't. If you're a part-time devotee, you're in Maya. You have to be a full-time devotee. You say, well, I'm not a brahmachari living in the temple. How can I be a pure-time devotee, full-time devotee? Well, was Bhaktivinoda Thakur a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? He was working a job. He was working for the British government. He had a government job, and yet he was a full-time devotee. You see? So working a job doesn't mean you're a part-time devotee. No, you have to learn how to engage your job in the service of Krishna by taking the fruit of your job and spending every paisa in a Krishna-conscious way. Properly utilize the fruit of your work for Krishna, that makes your work Krishna conscious. Prabhupada, everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. All right, here I am, a conditioned soul, misidentifying with this gross lump of blood, flesh, stool, pus, urine, bile, etc. Here I am, a conditioned soul. Is that any excuse for not engaging in the transcendental living service of the Lord? No. You can't say this and that. You can't give any excuse. There are no excuses. The order is coming from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It's coming from all of our acharyas. It's coming from Krishna, Sarvadaman, Pritraja, Mamikang, Sharanang, Vraja. Everyone should engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. All living entities throughout all of existence. Not just the ISKCON devotees, but all living entities are meant to do this. Everyone is meant to be engaged in devotional service. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life. Wow. Actual life. That means what I'm experiencing right now is not actual life. Actual life means to be fully awakened in your transcendental loving relationship with Krishna as one of his associates. That's your actual life. Understand? That's your actual life. We haven't fully entered into our actual life. We're in some kind of a virtual reality right now, instead of the factual reality. We're living in a virtual reality, not the factual reality. So many powerful points here. Wow. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of misery. There is no happiness at all. Oh, wow. There went my bubble pop. Now, I thought I'd still enjoy the material world, right? But now Prabhupada popped the bubble. There is no happiness at all. Bus, finished. So don't think you can enjoy it. You cannot experience genuine happiness anywhere in material existence. You cannot. It doesn't exist. Even if you become Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of this whole universe, you still cannot have any happiness unless you take the devotional service. There's so many people that appear to be happy. You see? But it's called Maya Sukaya, illusory happiness. They're not factually happy. When the suffering is not quite as bad, they call it happiness. That's all. I'm hitting you with a hammer. Boom, 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 boom. Your skull is all swelling up, and there's blood coming out. I keep hitting you. I stop hitting you, and they go, ah, relief. You're not hitting me right now. That's material happiness. When the misery is not quite so bad, now I'm happy. But actually, we're always in a suffering condition. You know that song, Gopinath? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gopinath, mamani vedana shuno, vishayi dojana, sada kamarata kichu nahi modaguna. Gopinath, Gopinath, my dear Lord Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. I'm a miserable materialistic rascal. I'm simply full with lust. I have no good qualities. You see. Just see how Bhaktivinoda is praying. So we have to develop that kind of humility. That kind of humility we have to develop. You see. Sometimes we get disturbed, we're being corrected. The guru corrects or Guru Mata corrects. We feel agitated, disturbed. Our false ego flares up. You see. Actually, to be Prabhupada said, the student who was more chastised, he is advanced. So, the next time you're chastised, understand you're getting the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing. You say, well, come on, I've been around for many years, you know. I chant rounds every day, I get up on time, I don't break the... Why should I be chastised? I mean, come on, you know. Why should I be chastised? Got to understand, you know, I'm an advanced devotee now. Why are you chastising me? But who was the most advanced of all the devotees? Lord Chaitanya, right? He's Krishna himself. He was chastised. His Guru Maharaj said, you are such a fool and a rascal. You just better chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was chastised. So don't feel bad next time you're chastised. Mm-hmm. You're in the company of Lord Chaitanya.
So, should we look for
Should we do things wrong on purpose? I heard one devotee who didn't. I know one devotee who used to do that sometimes. But I know for myself, I don't have to do that. I'm already making so many mistakes. I don't have to worry about trying to do something wrong so I get chastised. If I'm really, really advanced, it might be good to sometimes screw up so I get chastised, so I don't get puffed up. But actually, I don't think we're that advanced that we have to. We're already committing so many mistakes, we don't have to try to commit any mistakes.
No, so we go on doing it, so you'll get chastised.
Should we go on doing it? No. Should we go on committing mistakes on purpose so I keep on getting chastised?
It's a very good idea.
Is that a very good idea? Because then I make more spiritual. Now the thing is, actually one should learn how to think, speak, and act in such a way that he's never chastised. And that's the goal. You see, we should all strive for perfection. To become advanced devotee means you must be a perfectionist. I have to, every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, must be perfect. That's what it means to become an advanced devotee, to be actually Krishna conscious. So we should take it as mercy when we're corrected. And we should try very diligently not to ever be corrected again. We should always strive to act in such a way that we don't need to be corrected. That's a fact. That's the answer. Any other questions? We have 26 people online today. Here we go. From Tulsi Ram. We have taken, Sila Gurudev, we have taken some million births. But finally we go back to the abode. Which form of ours should we entitle our original identity? Actually, meaning we could recognize by a bodily form. When you go back to the spiritual world, you will go back to that original form you had before you fell into material existence. You've had millions and billions of forms here in the cycle of birth and death. And each time you thought it was you. You thought you were a human, you thought you were a demigod, you thought you were a cow, you thought you were a monkey, you thought you were a dog, you thought you were a banyan tree, you thought you were a microbial germ. You always thought it was you, but it never was. The actual you is that original spiritual form that you have in the spiritual world in the pastimes of Krishna. That's the real you. And when you become fully absorbed, fully surrendered to Krishna, you'll leave your body and you'll go back and you'll wake up in that original form and you'll remember who you are. It's even stated, stated in one place that actually the first birth you take is in the pastimes of Krishna here in this material world, and a devotee who is in that same relationship that you have with Krishna as a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a cow, a monkey, or whatever it is in Krishna's Leela. A devotee who's in that same relationship will train you how to come back to your original position. He'll train you how to be perfect in that rasa, which is your actual rasa. So you get, there's a reorientation program, one place is mentioned. You get reoriented how to be, again, a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl, you know, how to do all those things that you do in your original position. So there's some training, in one place Mavan mentions that, then there's some training on how to, you know, how to be who you are. You have to go through a little training there. But you do come back to your original form, it's a fact. Any other questions? No questions? Yes. Let me turn on my hearing aid and see if I can hear you. Okay. No. Once you become qualified to re-enter Krishna's pastimes, you're completely free from all anxiety. There's no anxieties ever again touch your heart. You'd be totally state of pure bliss. Never again to be in any type of miserable condition ever again. And actually you'll never fall again either, you see. There's a saying, once burned, twice shy. A little child may stick his hand in the fire once out of curiosity, but he'll never do it again, you see. So we were like little children, we stuck our hands in the fire. What would it be like if I was Krishna? You see, we played around with it, and then we got burned. When we get back to our original relationship with Krishna, we'll never be completely free of anxiety, we'll never fall again. Never. For all of eternity, we'll always remain in that position. And we could, because we have free will, but we never will. A living entity always has the potential of falling down for all of eternity. But once he falls and rectifies himself, Krishna says, Puna Janmana Vidyate. Krishna promises this. Punar Janmana Vidyate. They will never take birth again. So you can trust Krishna. If I give myself fully to reviving my lost loving relationship with him, and I get back to it, well, not if, but when I get back to it, there's no anxiety at all ever for all of eternity. I'm resituated. And you'll also, your spiritual master will be there, your guru mother will be there, you see. Prabhupada said, well, another ISKCON, all the ISKCON devotees will all even recognize each other. Oh, there's so-and-so. Now he's in this relationship. We'll all be able to recognize who we were and who we are now. Oh, there was the GBC chairman. Now he's a gopi. Be able to recognize, oh, there's so-and-so Maharaj. Now he's a cowherd boy, you see. We'll be able to recognize all the ISKCON devotees in Krishna's pastimes, who they are. It'd be really interesting. Our godbrothers, our godsisters, I'll be able to recognize all of you. You recognize me, you recognize Guru Mata. We'll all be back together again in our relationship with our eternal forms, the spiritual world. But we'll be able to remember what we went through here, how we fell down and how we came back. And how I got initiated, all those things. You remember all those things, you see. Huh? She's being humble now. Any other questions? Questions here, okay. Australia. Vishnuvratta, okay. Just like Sarvadaman Pradarja is a pivotal verse of Bhagavatam, similarly, which are the pivotal verse of Bhagavatam? The pivotal verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Jaride Katate Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Gaya Guru, Harya Tade Desh.
Guru has to do the work to find out and give him the pivotal verses of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, the Guru has to work, that's right. The answer is, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, whoever you meet, instruct them in the teachings of Krishna. In the pivotal verse of Bhagavatam, we just studied this morning. That's certainly the pivotal verse of Bhagavatam. So, supreme occupation. So, there you got it, all three. Okay.
I'm not going to read Srila Prabhupada's book. I'll look at the pivotal verse, and I will learn everything.
I'll only read the pivotal verse. No, you have to read Vishnuvratta. You have to read all the books, that's Prabhupada's order, not just the pivotal verses. You have to read every single book that Prabhupada has written. We're talking, you know, Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Sri Upanishad, and Easy Journey to Other Planets. Did I leave anything out? Read all those books, Prabhupada's order, read. He says, all of my disciples have to read all of my books. That includes grand disciples too. A grand disciple is also a disciple. Not that, well, I'm glad, well, the Prabhupada disciple has to do that, but I don't. No. Grand disciples are also disciples. It's a different type of disciple, though. So. That's all. Your disciples are Prabhupada also. It's a different type of disciple. You're a grand disciple. Well, that's also a disciple. You're not a grand something else. You're a grand disciple. So you are a disciple. Huh?
There are more questions.
Okay, more questions. Ananda Vardhana from us.
Rajaram.
The meaning of the word Hokshajay. What's the translation, Devi? Hokshajay. Unto the transcendence. Hokshajay is the transcendence, and Hokshajay is unto the transcendence. That's where you have to run your devotional service unto the transcendence. Okay, Anandavardhana. Over the period, I have noticed that there are many layers of anartas in my heart. That's wonderful, you're noticing that. Very good. One layer is removed, another layer immediately pops up. What would it feel like without any anartas? Well, get rid of them, you'll find out. It'll feel really good, I can tell you right now, from what I've heard about the previous acharyas who threw anartas. I'm working on it myself. But the fact is, the more you become free from anartas, the more you become ecstatic, and you just keep getting rid of this one, that one, this. The more they go away, the more you become ecstatic. And when they're completely gone away, you're completely, totally ecstatic. To be without any anartas, you'll actually be, every moment will be a moment of ecstatic jubilation, celebration, inconceivable celebration beyond the pleasure of the demigods and the heavenly planets. The more you become free from anartas, the more you realize how many anartas you have.
The more you have.
Yeah. Like you see, in the beginning. But Devi, there is a state called anarta nirvritti, which is achieved in due course of time. The one who is completely free from anartas, he actually feels that he's drowning in an ocean of anartas. That's transcendental humility. The liberated soul who's actually become absolutely perfect, his vision is that every single jiva soul through all of existence is a pure devotee, except for me, and the most abominable, despicable rascal. That is the mood of the Uttam Adhikari. But for the sake of preaching, he comes down to the level of a Majjhama Adhikari and make distinctions. There are the Supreme Lord, there are his devotees, there are the innocent, there are the demons, you see. But the mood of a fully self-realized person is that I am the most abominable snake, completely drowning in an ocean of unlimited anarchists. That is his humility. He actually feels himself like that. We see Prabhupada's sister and god sister, his material sister and god sister also. We called her Pishima, or auntie. She used to come to Mayapur. During the Mayapur festival, she'd be there. She came up from Calcutta. And she was so humble. It was unbelievable. She looked a little bit like Prabhupada, actually, her face. And devotees loved her like anything, especially my god sister Gayatri. She became very close with Pishima. But Pishima, when she'd get up from sitting to hear a class, she would take water and wash the spot where she sat. She felt, I have contaminated this place by sitting here. Now I must wash this place where I was sitting because I'm so contaminated, you see. She's feeling like that. She's a great exalted Vaishnavi. But she felt, oh, I'm just contaminating. Wherever I go, I'm contaminating that place, you see. Anything else? Okay, here we go. How can we use the money received from the tenant who eats meat? Use it for Krishna. And then what if you work for a company where the CEO eats meat? It's the same thing. You work for a company, and all the owner of the corp, the board of directors, they're all meat eaters, sex mongers, and you're working for them, you're getting paid by these people. Simply use that money in the service of Krishna and it becomes purified. Anything else?
No more questions.
No more questions, and we're a little bit over time. So we could stop here, and we thank you all very much for tuning in to Bhagavatam. Understand these messages, take this deep into your heart, and become completely free of motivations and interruptions in your devotional service. And if you do so, you become totally, absolutely blissed out. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.